And once again, aren't you in great voice this morning? It's just such an encouragement to worship together as we sing together. Over these past few weeks, we've been looking at growth, and not just my pathetic sunflower seeds, but more importantly, our own growth in Christ, our own spiritual growth. What are the things that mark, that would actually tell us that we're growing? How do we know if we're growing in Christ? And we've looked at some of those marks. One of them was simply an increased hatred for sin in our lives and a desire to see that thrown off and got rid of. Another one last week was simply our increasing devotion to God. So not only are we seeking to empty our lives of sin, we're seeking to fill our lives with God. And this morning I want us to look at this whole area of trusting God. Trusting God. If you have a dollar bill, you'll be familiar with this. In God we trust. But I suppose the question is, do we? In God we trust, or do we? Generally, we like to be able to fix things. Something's going wrong in our lives, in our family, in work, whatever it is, we like to be able to sort it out. We like to be able to fix it. And so we might have the ability to do that. We've got the intellectual ability. Maybe we've got the skills that we need to do it. Maybe we've got the money to get someone else to fix it for us. Maybe we've got those connections with other people that we can call on them to bring them in and sort out whatever's going wrong. But we love to get things fixed. We love to get things sorted out. We love to get things back working the way they should be. Whether it's about our health, whether it's about relationships, whatever it is, we love to be able to fix things. We love to be able to put things right. But what happens to us when we're faced with a problem that won't be fixed? What happens when you're faced with a problem that no matter how much money you have and how much money you throw at it, it's not going to go away? What happens when you face something that no matter how skillful you are, no matter how intellectually gifted you are, you still can't work it out? What happens when something happens to you and there's no one in your connection, there's no one in your network that you can call in to sort it? What happens? What happens when it's just beyond you? Love these pictures of kids learning to swim. Can you remember learning to swim? I can just about remember the panic. I can just about remember the panic in Templemore Avenue swimming pool in Belfast. Because I wasn't panicking because of Templemore Avenue, it was the water in the pool. And with my dad in the shallow end and him holding me up and then just letting me go and the panic. The panic. And you start and you sprackle about there in that shallow water. But the truth is this, you never really learn to swim until you get out a little bit deeper. Because when you're in that shallow water, you start to panic, you just put your feet down. And even as a wee fella, I was tall enough to be able to do that. It wasn't until you got out of your depth a little bit that you really had to trust the water, that you really had to learn to swim. In your depth, you can control it. Just put your feet down. Out of your depth, different story. The passage which Jude read for us a few minutes ago, this passage from Matthew chapter 10, Jesus recognizes the reality of adversity. Sometimes, as Christians, we give this idea that if you come to Jesus, if you ask Jesus into your life, everything from then on will be so good, so easy, so nice, such a bed of roses. Why wouldn't you follow Jesus? Jesus actually addresses that and says, no, hang on. Here's the reality. And as you read through that passage which Jude read for us, you discover this. Jesus says to his disciples, some of you are going to end up being flogged. Some of you will be dragged before governors and kings. Some of you will be betrayed. Some of you will be hated, persecuted. You will be chased from town to town around the country. This is the reality. Following me is not going to be a bed of roses. And you can imagine people hearing that. Wow. We thought, Jesus, you were going to rescue us from all that. Jesus, we thought you were going to keep us safe from all that. And then he speaks of these two little birds. Over these last couple of days, we have a brood of sparrows in the back garden in the manse who are just a delight to watch. The chicks are almost as big as the parents, and they're just insatiable as they want to be fed. Jesus said, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Literally to a penny. Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs on your head are numbered. So don't be afraid. You're worth more than many sparrows. God's trusted with sparrows. You trust him with your life. You trust him. When we get to the end of our tether, when we get to that point in whatever it is we're up against where there's nothing that we have or nothing that we can do that makes a difference, that's where we learn to trust God. When we say, I can't fix this, but I believe that you are all-powerful God, you can fix this. When you say, I don't even understand why this is happening, I don't understand why this is going on in my life and in the world around me, but I understand that you know all things, God, and I trust you. We get to the end of our own tether, and we learn to trust God. It's not to deny reality. Sometimes people are encouraged to simply deny what's going on. No, don't worry about that. Not at all. Don't worry about that illness. Don't worry about that problem. Don't worry about this issue. Jesus is not saying that. Jesus is saying these are real. But in the midst of that reality, you can trust God. Jesus recognizes that there are times when we face things that are beyond us. And we need to trust ourselves to God. The writer of Proverbs simply says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Trust in the Lord. Lean not on your own understanding. It's again this idea of our own understanding. Lord, we understand this. We can work this out. We can fix it. We can put it right. And we're reminded time and time again, no, you can't. No, you can't. Trust in the Lord, not your own understanding. Interesting in this verse. Last week we talked about giving our all to God and devotion to him. And here the writer of Proverbs simply says, trust the Lord with a bit of your heart, with some of your heart. With all your heart. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Not in a few of your ways, or in your Sunday ways, or in your church ways, but in all your ways, acknowledge him. Again, this devotion to God. One of the marks that you and I are growing in our relationship with Jesus Christ is that we will have a growing trust in God. Now, it's not a mask. It's not a pretense like the sunflower that wasn't a sunflower. It's a reality. It's based on our experience of God's grace in our lives. We know that God has been faithful. We know that we have experienced his love. And the more we experience his grace in our lives, the more we trust him. It's not a mask or a pretense. Go back to that learning to swim thing. From those first early panicky splashing strokes that you make in that little shallow end of the pool as you grow out, there's growing confidence in your swimming, growing confidence in your ability to stay afloat. From those first early panicky splashy attempts to trust God, as we trust Him more and more, we grow confident, not in our own selves, lean not on your own understanding, but in the God who can be trusted. We grow in our confidence of His trustworthiness. Can you trust this God? Paul wrote to the church in Rome, a church who was struggling with many of the things that we struggle with today. What does it mean to follow Jesus? What does it mean to grow in Jesus? And Paul writes to that church and tells them, you know that God gave you the very best that He had. He who did not spare His own Son, but rather gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Jesus, graciously give us all things? If God has already given you His Son for your salvation, is He going to finish there? Is He going to leave you there? Paul reminds us, no, hang on. God's already done that. Will He not then also give you everything you need? Not necessarily everything we want. Everything we need. This is the God we can trust. We look at the cross, we can see that. He's given us His only Son. He gave us the supreme gift of His Son to save us. And He will certainly give us whatever is necessary to continue to grow in Him from day to day. Now, sometimes when we say, trust in God, we give the impression that we're making light of the adversity that people face. Just trust God. And the impression that we sometimes give is, it's not really that bad, just trust God. That's not the case. In the midst of adversity, we need to be praying for relief. There'd be something wrong if we were, Lord, I really love this misery. I really love this suffering. I really love this hardship. I really love whatever's going on. No. It's right and proper to pray for relief, but also to trust God for the outcome. Remember Jesus weeping in Gethsemane. He knows what's going to come. He is faced with the greatest adversity. Within hours, He will have the sin of the world upon Himself as He dies on the cross. And He cries out, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as You will." It's right to pray for relief in the midst of hardship. Of course it is. But it's important that also we trust God for the outcome. Not my will, but Your will. Trusting God. So I wonder where it is in your life this morning that you need to trust God. Maybe it's just looking at the world around you. When you look at the saber rattling going on between America and Iran, America and North Korea, and you wonder, Lord, how is this all going to end up? How is this going to end up? Maybe it's to do with environmental disasters going on around us, and we see more and more the effects of the damage that we have done and are doing to this world. And maybe we're thinking, Lord, I don't know how this is going to end. Maybe it's the political turmoil. The stalemate here, the chaos in Westminster. And we think, Lord, how's this going to work out? Maybe it's much more personal. Maybe it's that difficult relationship in your life. And you're thinking, Lord, I can't fix this. I would love to fix this, but I can't fix this. Maybe it's about your health or the health of someone who's dear to you. Lord, I can't fix this, but I trust you. It could be 101 different things this morning that God is looking at us and saying, do you trust me? Do you trust me? And in the midst of whatever it is you're going through, in the midst of that heartbreak, that anxiety, that concern, that fear, God is saying, I love you. I love you so much that I gave my only son for you. So how would I hold back everything that you need? Trust me. Trust me. As we look at this picture, as we're reminded of the words of Jesus, it is Christ-like to pray for relief, but at the same time to trust God that he will know and do what is best. Be still for a moment or two. And whatever it is that would be the place where you have to trust God this morning, I want you to pray for that. I want you to pray for that. I want you to pray that you will be able to trust God in that difficult place, that place where you have got to the end of your ability, of your finances, of your connections. You've got to the end, and there you need to trust God. Let's pray together. Lord, if it were not for your love and our experience of your love, we would be in a sorry place. For there is a lot that would weigh down upon us. And yet we thank you that you have shown us that you are trustworthy. That your will is good, perfect, pleasing. So help us, we pray, to trust you and to trust you more. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.